Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello and welcome in Monday edition of the show. Indiana coming off of a humongous victory to close out the regular season on Sunday. The IU team has now won 4 games in a row as they get ready to enter the Big Ten tournament later this week. I think officially it was at a 6th or 7th place finish for the Hoosiers in the Big Ten Conference this year with this real surge as of late to close out the year. A great weekend of high school basketball. And we are entering one of my favorite weeks of the year. It is conference tournament week, some great basketball ahead basically all week, all day from Wednesday moving on. And next Saturday, we have the high school basketball semi-state with one team remaining, and that's the Jeffersonville Red Devils. Let's look at our lineup today, brought to you by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, in just a few moments, Sharon Wilkerson, head coach of that last team standing, the Red Devils, is going to join us to recap a great, fun, wonderful environment for a regional on Saturday, and his Devils came out on top. They finished the game strong. Michael Cooper and teammates were huge again this weekend, and Coach Wilkerson is with us to recap that, to talk about what's ahead, a big, big opportunity and a tough opportunity ahead for Jeff as they're going to head to Newcastle on Saturday for semi-state basketball. They could play as many as 2 games. That's the plan, I'm sure, for Coach Wilkerson and this Jeff team. If they can make it through 2 big, tough games, would be headed to a state championship game in Class 4A basketball. So Coach Wilkerson with us in segment one here in just a moment. Later today, our regular guest on Mondays, that's Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star on the IU win and more. And then Chad Gilbert, former coach at Jeff, IHSA executive board member and Charlestown athletic director. He is always with us on Mondays as we put the attention on local sports. And you can bet that we'll talk about the Red Devils. Christian Academy came up a little short, a good effort against Bar Reeve on Saturday. We'll take a look at the semi-state. You know, kind of different this year. All the teams in each class go into a hat. They drew them out yesterday, the 4 North teams that remain in each class, the 4 South teams that remain in each class, and that's when they identified each location for the different 4A North, 4A South, 3A North, 3A South, etc., semi-states for this weekend. So it's a little different, year 2 for that. Some minor changes to the format of the state tournament with the regional and semi-state flipped. We'll talk a little bit about that with Chad as well. And so much to unpack over the weekend. The big fight from the South Carolina LSU women's game. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show today. And just so much to get to. It's a busy time for sports, for basketball, and just an awesome week ahead when we think about the college landscape and all the tournaments. And NCAA bracket will be set a week from yesterday. We'll know Sunday night coming up the lay of the land for the NCAA tournament. And I think, and it's already starting, I see Kentucky just fired their women's coach a little bit earlier this morning. There obviously are already some openings, and it's expected that maybe Kenny Payne, as soon as the Cardinals get done at some point this week, will be let go. There will be other surprises. It's just a busy time. And the transfer portal, on top of everything else, it opens on Monday. So it's going to be absolute basketball madness for the next, I don't know, month or so, and going to be fun. So hopefully you can make it a point to be with us each and every day. I know Indiana, even though they're hot right now, And I think maybe they can move through the Big Ten bracket. They're obviously a far shot for the NCAA tournament. They're going to have to win the Big Ten tournament this week. But keep it with us, even though the Hoosiers may not be there. I know the Cardinals aren't going to go to the NCAA tournament. It's going to be Purdue and Kentucky, the two local teams to watch and see how they do. But keep it with us for a lot of fun shows coming up here the rest of this month and into the month of April as well. That's the lineup for today, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Check them out. They've got wonderful sandwiches and salad soups as well that are made fresh daily, and they will surely satisfy any craving you have. You might even find something else to take home, as they have a variety of dinner packages. Give Honey Baked Ham in New Albany a try. I think you'll be glad that you did. Sharon Wilkerson, coach of the Red Devils, his team victorious in a thrilling win over Evansville Harrison, 70-65 on Saturday evening at Southridge, the Huntingburg Memorial Gymnasium, a great place to be in the month of March. Coach Wilkerson, thanks for being with us, and congratulations on a big win in a big environment on Saturday.
Oh, thank you so much, Matt. Man, we're very fortunate, my friend. Very, very fortunate, and we feel really blessed.
Coach, let's go through that ball game. It was nip and tuck basically the entire way. In fact, Harrison took, I think, their first lead of the game in the latter minutes of the game in the fourth period. But Michael Cooper had 8 points in a row, and your team rebounded to retake the lead and then go on to put a little bit of space and hang on for a five-point victory. It was an all-around effort, and Michael Cooper led the way for the Devils.
Oh, Matt, Michael was really big for us in that fourth quarter. The previous three quarters, as a staff, we kind of thought that they had made it really difficult for him. And I will be honest with you, I think that he got a little bit fatigued. And, man, I think we've really challenged Michael. He's been our defensive stopper on the defensive end, and he's also has been called upon to kind of shoulder a lot of our scoring responsibilities. So I thought that at that time, man, specifically going into the fourth quarter, he was a little fatigued. So we gave him a little rest, and boy, he responded better than we ever anticipated. So he has matured more than we can fathom, and it's been great for our program.
It is interesting to see how he has really elevated his game here in the postseason. He had some real breakout moments, I thought, for you all year long. And you're his coach. You see him every day in practice, so you've got obviously the best read of anybody. But it seemed as the season went on, Michael Cooper got stronger and stronger, better and better. And that's continued into the postseason when you need him and leadership the most.
I think the experience piece, Matt, has really helped Cooper in his development. You know, he came in as a freshman and was highly touted as a shooter. And we challenged him when I came in last year to be able to be a two-way player. And I thought last year at times he was a two-way player, but I thought this year his junior campaign, I thought he's been a lot more consistent in being a two-way player. And as you see, it's really helped us win some big games this year.
Talking with Sharon Wilkerson, head coach of the Jeffersonville Red Devils. They'll play at Newcastle on Saturday in a two-game semi-state. Coach, that game, that Harrison game, you've been in some real battles as a player, really at all levels from high school to pro, and you've been a coach now at college level and high school level. It felt like a tremendous battle, a tremendous game, that if you played that game 10 times, it might come up 5 wins for Jeff and 5 wins for Harrison. That was just a good matchup. Trey Singleton had good defense, good size to go against from Harrison. I thought helped slow him down some. Their guard play matched yours in many situations as well. Just two very even teams in the way that they were laid out.
I thought that we were evenly matched in December when we played them the first time, Matt. They have good guard play. We have good guard play. They have inside presence on both ends. We have inside presence on both ends. I thought on Saturday, I thought the difference was we was able to make shots at the appropriate time. And, you know, it's kind of gone against what we've told our kids all year, because, you know, we truly believe in the tournament time. It comes down to who can make the tough plays, who can rebound, who can get the 50-50 balls, who can make free throws, who can make layups. And it's pretty ironic that Michael ended the fourth quarter there with scoring 8 straight points, because we kept telling him that offense is not going to win us the game. And man, so you can imagine the excitement in Cooper after we come in the locker room after the game. So it was happened to be a double-edged sword for us in the fact that we was able to guard and rebound, and plus we was able to make some shots.
Jeffersonville now 19-7 after the big win over Harrison on Saturday. Coach Huntingburg, it's been a few years since I've been there. What an awesome place. You got a chance to practice there and play there, obviously, on Saturday. And now we didn't know immediately after your win. It took until the IHSA pairing show for the semi-state round on Sunday afternoon. But now your team's going to go to another amazing high school facility in our state and play in Newcastle Chrysler Arena on Saturday in the semi-state. Before we even talk about what's ahead or what the week looks like or who you're going to play on Saturday, what a tour of gyms that you and your Red Devils have been treated to this month.
No, Matt, it's actually funny that you say that because that's been the message to our players. And man, they have really gotten an opportunity to fully experience the Indiana high school basketball nostalgia at its finest. And I think for me as the coach, that's probably the thing that's been the most rewarding. And man, it's great to win basketball games, man. It's absolutely fantastic. But I truly believe that that's just a byproduct of your culture, of your program. So for us, specifically me as the head coach, I think the most rewarding time has been to watch these guys cut down nets and climb ladders. To see the smile on their faces, it's priceless. We're so very fortunate to have the opportunity to experience this. It's a very small piece of their life, but I think it will resonate with these guys for the rest of their life. It's just a blessing to be a part of it.
Talking to Sharon Wilkerson, coach of the Jeffersonville Red Devils, winners of the 4A Southridge Regional on Saturday evening. Coach, the drawing came out yesterday. The Red Devils will take on Lawrence North in the second morning game, the second semifinal game of the Newcastle semi-state. It's expected to be a noon tip-off. We'll be on the air that day about 11:40 with our pregame coverage. I know that you're digging into the possibilities and probably were so almost immediately on Saturday night when you returned to Jeffersonville, but three really good teams in addition to your Red Devils. One of those teams you're very familiar with in Center Grove, and I know obviously you keep up with high school basketball across our state, so Ben Davis always seems to find a way to make it deep into the tournament. Lawrence North has had some really good players and some really good teams as well. So preparing for this weekend, tell us about Lawrence North, your early thoughts on the opponent you'll take on at noon in Newcastle.
So obviously we started preparing ourselves last night with the film and whatnot, Matt. And I would tell you, man, they're 25-3. They are, depending on which poll you look, they're number two typically in most polls in the state. They're actually ranked nationally. They've had a really, really good year. Really, really athletic, 6'8", 6'7", across the front line. We're going to have to play a really high level of basketball to come out with an opportunity to have a chance to win. But I will tell you, Matt, we are definitely looking forward to the challenge, which is one of the reasons that we created the schedule that we created for this year. Our December schedule specifically was really tough. And we made that schedule in anticipating that we would have an opportunity to make a deep run in the tournament. So I think that the two go hand in hand, and we have prepared ourselves. And hopefully now I've told our guys, when you get to the Elite Eight, you got to have a little luck. Man, obviously you have to prepare yourself to be lucky. But at the same time, I think that you have to have a little bit of luck. And hopefully in our preparation, man, we get ready to play and show up on Saturday, we'll be ready to put our best foot forward.
Coach Wilkerson, I go back to when you first got the job, when you came back to Jeffersonville to take over the program, that you'd been around recently as an assistant coach, and you obviously played there and had some tremendous years leading Jeffersonville to a state championship. And I remember our early interviews and some of the conversations we had about building this Jeff program back up and getting them relevant on a state level and making runs, even if it wasn't to the state finals, deep into the tournament, to the semi-state round. Now that you're here and now that you've reached that level with this group this season, how important was it to make this kind of run, not just for this group of players right now, but maybe overall for the Jeffersonville program and the future of what you're working very hard, I know, to build there?
Matt, I will tell you, I didn't tell our players this, but obviously hindsight's 20/20. But I gave the message to my coaching staff that I thought that it was imperative that we won this sectional. I thought it was imperative that we won the regional. And here's why. When you come in and you're changing the culture of a program, and sometimes the culture that is being changed may not resonate with the community, nor sometimes, Matt, does it resonate with the people that's actually going through it. So I really felt that because of the way that we came in and we abruptly changed the culture and the direction that the program was moving, thought that if we didn't get the results that you could potentially lose some people. So fortunate for us, it worked out to the point to where we experienced some success. And I think once you experience success, I think that culture will flourish from that point. So hopefully we've gone through the growing pains now of getting the culture back to where it needs to be from a student-athlete standpoint. Now hopefully we can ride this momentum and continue to build moving forward.
Coach, what's the week look like for your Red Devil team? Obviously, there's a lot of preparation to be done. There's practice at Newcastle still to happen. And I will say, you know, based on where the semi-state was assigned for 4A, Jeffersonville does get the short end of the stick when it comes to travel as far as the distance. It's about 2 hours and 15 minutes or so from William S. Johnson Arena in Jeff to Chrysler Arena in Newcastle. So that adds to an already busy and challenging week. But what is the week ahead look like from a practice and experience standpoint, bonding standpoint, and then ultimately you get to Newcastle? I know the plan is later in the week.
Well, Matt, I will tell you, it's a great question. I will tell you, I know from a monetary standpoint, obviously it hurt us only having 7 home games. But from a standpoint of being able to make a deep run in the tournament, I think that it was probably our biggest attribute that has helped prepare us for this. So the second thing I would tell you is the distance, because we have traveled to Kokomo, to Fishers. I think it's going to be a seamless transition for us because we've already been there. Then the third part, what our schedule looks like this week. Obviously, we would like to get up and practice at the venue, but because of the distance logistically, we're going to have to wait until Friday. So Friday we would get up, we would leave early on Friday morning. We would get up to hopefully visit the Hall of Fame and then be able to get a practice in before we play on Saturday. So our preparation Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday is going to be here at Jeffersonville. We're going to treat it as a normal week of preparation and practice. And then on Thursday, we will start putting things in place to prepare ourselves to leave Friday morning and to get up there and get acclimated to the new facility and the new gym and new surrounding and new environment so our kids can start to get into the right mindset.
Absolutely. Sharon Wilkerson, coach of Jeffersonville. Coach, a lot of fun to be in the gym on Saturday. There was a great crowd, and it just was an absolute great battle between you and Harrison. Keep up the good work. We will be in Newcastle with you, and thanks for coming on today.
Thank you, Matt. Always a pleasure, my friend. Go Devils.
Absolutely. Sharon Wilkerson joining us here to start the week. Big stuff for Coach Wilkerson back at his alma mater, and Jeffersonville really having some success. Amazing that they're doing all this with one starter in the starting lineup, one senior, I should say, in the starting lineup, and transfer Jeremy Rose that came into the program this offseason. So it's so important, I think, regardless of the ultimate result this weekend, whether it's against Lawrence North or the semi-state championship game, or if Jeff could get to the state championship game a few weeks from now. So important to see this group get that experience, because I'm going to tell you one thing. I don't want to flip the page to next season just yet, but this Red Devil team, with the potential they've got, with who's coming back, they are really going to be a force to reckon with next season. So we'll see what they can do at the semi-state. I think Jeffersonville has an opportunity. I really do. But this team is going to be a force to be reckoned with next year, especially with some of these key players as juniors and then some other younger players that are going to get this great experience to package in with what they can do next season as well. So watch out for Jeff, not just this weekend, but next season as well. It's been fun to watch Coach Wilkerson guide the Devils to some success here in the postseason. I do want to give a shout-out to Christian Academy, Joshua Renfro, David Cook, Coach Hayden Casey and his staff. They had an outstanding year. Christian Academy finishes 22-5 on the season. They made a great comeback, ended up losing by 7 points to Barrieve on Saturday in the regional championship game down at Lagodi. Barrieve, 50-43 winners over Christian Academy, but just an outstanding year for the Warriors. I think the future very bright for them as they return Renfro and some other pieces from that team next season, but came up close, but a little short to Barrieve in a regional championship game on Saturday as well. Fun day of hoops, though, across the state. It was great to catch up with the other regionals and take a look at some of the surprises and the scores from all corners of the state. And now we're headed to the semi-state round. Hard to believe we are in the final couple weeks of the boys' high school basketball season for 23-24. Thornton's text line is open. That number is 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. You can send in questions, comments, whatever you've got. We'd love to hear from you today. Maybe you watched that fight yesterday between South Carolina and LSU. Maybe you got some thoughts on that. IU, big win yesterday. Tell us your thoughts on the Hoosiers as well. 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. If you're looking for an icy cold thirst quencher to keep your day going in the right direction, right now at Thornton's, all 32-ounce fountain drinks and smaller are only 89 cents. You heard it right, only 89 cents. So come in today and grab a fountain drink from Thornton's and send us a text on the Thornton's text line, 502-414-1450. To a quick commercial break we go. Back with Zach Osterman to talk IU Michigan State after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
You know, a basketball hero around here is treated like a god.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
You know, most people would kill to be treated like a god just for a few moments.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Monday show. Thornton's text line is open, 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star going to join us here in just a second, but I do want to get to some text here real quick. Texter says, weren't some possible recruits at the IU game yesterday? The atmosphere and game had to be a positive experience for them. Yes, there were a handful of recruits there. I know Trent Sisley of Heritage Hills was probably the biggest name. There was another key player from South Bend in one of the younger classes in state that was on campus and received a scholarship offer after his visit over the weekend, and a few offers that went out from Indiana to new players, younger players over the weekend. So this staff, you know, they've known their back. They obviously have continued recruiting, but good to see some of those players, especially in-state guys, get to experience a big senior night finale, home game win for Indiana in the fashion that it happened. Another texter says, at one point, I didn't think Indiana could win one of their four remaining games. They have since won out and are looking like a good team. They are set to make a good appearance in the tournament, and I'm afraid I'll have to be happy with that, a good appearance. I agree with you. I still don't feel this Indiana team, as hot as they may be, is going to win the conference championship and go to the NCAA tournament as a real surprise. But I think they can make a nice run next week, whether it helps them enough to get in the NIT or not, I'm not sure, but I think all the metrics tell us that Indiana's basically got to win the Big Ten tournament to have any chance at getting in the NCAA tournament. Final text I want to get to right now. Texter says, I have given this team as much grief as anyone, but sixth seed in the Big Ten tournament. There were several that picked them to finish eighth in the Big Ten. This team has done what the experts projected, middle of the pack in the Big Ten Conference. Thanks. And I agree, it's not been a banner season. There have been lots of low moments, lots of head-scratching moments, but Indiana finished right in the middle of the pack of the conference, even a place or two better than what some of the college basketball experts and publications out there expected them to do in the preseason. Zach Osterman of the Indy Star with us now. Zach, Indiana four in a row. Am I right in saying what I just did, that really the only path in, according to the predictive ratings and metrics, is Indiana has to win the Big Ten tournament coming up this week?
I would be surprised if there is another path. And I think, you're right about kind of basically the why is, and forgive me, my voice is gone. I've had a cold for the last few days. The computer rankings just don't like Indiana, and a lot of that has to do with efficiency numbers. You know, I think some people might know Ant Wright. He's kind of a content creator and sort of social media presence, particularly in the Big Ten on social media, on Twitter. And he made the point that actually there's an extent to which Indiana would have been better off losing to, like, Florida Gulf Coast, but then just absolutely wiping out all these other guarantee game opponents. You know, Indiana only beat Army by 8, only beat Wright State by 9, Harvard by 13, Morehead State by 1. You know, a decent margin of victory against North Alabama, but only beat Kennesaw State by 13. And that's reflective of, you know, the final scores in those games are reflective of a team that just wasn't very efficient offensively or defensively at that point in the season. They've gotten a little bit better, though they are still bottom three in efficiency in Big Ten play. But, you know, Scott Van Pelt did an interesting package. I'm writing something on this today. A couple weeks ago, talking about how basically the Big 12 sort of recognized a way to sort of game the net formulas, being that the conference essentially scheduled a bunch of really, really empty calorie non-conference games, had all of its teams kind of run up scores in those games and improve their efficiency numbers as much as they possibly could, worrying less about who they were beating and more about how they were beating them. And then, of course, there were some quality games in there. Obviously, you know, Kansas beats Kentucky, beats UConn, beats Indiana, you know, and it's not just Kansas. I mean, you have a team like TCU beat Arizona State. You know, Houston beat Utah, beat Dayton, beat Xavier, beat Texas A&M. But then there's also a lot of, you know, just sort of pounding Rice, pounding Jackson State, 32 points in a win over Texas A&M, Corpus Christi, all these things. And the point is, essentially what the Big 12 did was they just got everybody's efficiency numbers up, and that boosted everybody's net ranking. And that way, when everybody played each other in conference, all these games were quad one and two wins, or crucially, if you lost them, quad one and two losses that didn't do much damage. I think as of this morning, I think I had 10 Big 12 teams in the top 50 in the net and 6 in the top 25. Indiana is basically the opposite, where Indiana just, you know, did not do enough, even in those games that you wouldn't have looked at and said they'd matter much to Indiana's overall sort of strength of schedule. Those games were too hard, and Indiana didn't do enough in terms of, you know, making those games count for their efficiency numbers to boost their computer rankings. And now Indiana is in a spot where I think they're 78 in Torvik, 86 in KenPom, 93, 94 in net. And it's just too late to make up those numbers. I think there might, and I'm skeptical even of this, but I think there might have been a potential path for Indiana, if Indiana wound up on Purdue's side of the bracket and could have beaten Purdue somewhere before the championship game in Minneapolis, because that's kind of the one win Indiana could get in Minneapolis that would feel like a real sort of needle mover. But now, the way things are structured, the only way Indiana can beat Purdue is by winning the Big Ten championship game, at which point this conversation would become academic anyway. So the short version of this, the metrics just aren't good enough. The computer numbers aren't good enough, and there's really no path to getting the better. And I think Indiana's going to have to win the whole thing in Minneapolis to get it.
Zach, I want to get to yesterday's game and obviously the Big Ten tournament ahead, but talking about the postseason, I know there's an NIT bracketology site, but is there a path with some more Indiana wins this week in Minneapolis, even if they don't reach the championship game or were to not win it, that can get them some postseason basketball through the NIT?
Possibly. And this is one of those that I think might come down to Indiana's preference and Indiana's appetite as much as anything. So, you know, going back a few weeks, the sense I got, well, I don't think there, you know, I don't think there was a memo or, you know, there was some sort of meeting held where this was discussed. You know, it sort of goes without saying, Indiana's the only thing Indiana really would play in would be the NIT. They wouldn't play in the CBI or anything like that. And my sense a few weeks ago was that Indiana really probably didn't even have the appetite for the NIT. You know, just that ultimately, with as disappointing as the season was, and there's a whole lot of like, well, is it because of perception and you don't want people to get booed or whatever? I think really what it's become, and you can agree with this or disagree with it, but ultimately I think what it's about is just the fact that that tournament just doesn't hold a lot of weight or appeal at this level anymore. Not that it's not valuable for, you know, some teams. Not that it's not something that I think a number of programs would embrace, but I think a program like Indiana would look at it and say, listen, anybody we have that's considering the NBA draft, you know, frankly, not even necessarily that they wouldn't play in the NIT, but that it would be hard for Indiana to look at anybody with a straight face and say they should play in the NIT, because there's just not, you're not going to boost your draft stock with that. It's not going to change any of the calculus for you going through the pre-draft process. And so then you kind of wind up in a situation where it's like, if you participate, then yeah, you're talking about, you know, obviously unimpressive crowds, potentially. You're talking about probably a team that's a little bit downsized. It's one of those where obviously there's, and again, you can say this is right or wrong, but you have sort of the questions about like how motivated are guys to play in this. And, you know, we saw Indiana kind of in it a few years ago under Archie Miller, and it probably went a little bit better than people expected, but not tremendously so. So my sense was there wasn't really an appetite for it. That thinking could be revised. I wouldn't be shocked if it was at least kind of maybe, you know, back in a conversation somewhere in terms of, particularly if Indiana could win a game or two in Minneapolis, get to 20 wins. You know, I think at that point, the NIT would have a clear and present interest in Indiana, which they may not have, you know, a couple of weeks ago when Indiana was 14-13 and sort of stumbling toward the end of the season. But then I think Indiana might also have a little bit more interest in, hey, a few more games together, you know, with some of these guys that are coming back. It can't hurt. It's more opportunities, et cetera. Of course, the tricky part is you never know where guys are with the portal. Mike Woodson was very honest. He said, you know, with the portal the way that it is, you're never completely sure what your team's going to look like until you get to, you know, May and June, because anybody can go in. There's nobody that you can look at and say, oh, I don't think he's going in the portal. I guess last night we crossed off Anthony Leal and Trey Galloway. But the point is, in the portal era, you know, everybody's always a threat to consider their option. So, again, forgive me, that's kind of the long answer. The short answer is I could see Indiana going either way on the NIT. I think there have certainly been some wider discussions in the last couple of years around whether there's a way to inject some juice back into the NIT as a competition. And I don't know if there's an answer to that or not, a satisfactory one at least. I think, you know, teams like Indiana could wind up being a bit of a litmus test for the, you know, that particular sort of question. I don't know. I guess, you know, forgive me. I just threw a lot of words at you, and I think the best answer I can give you is I'm not really sure where Indiana stands on participating in the NIT if invited right now today.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star. Zach, you watch this team game, each game. You follow this team. You report on this team very closely. I guess in a general sense of maybe a description here, how do you make sense of four big wins in a row, two of them on the road, two of them at home, and then some of the basketball that was played by this team just before that four-game stretch where there were lots of issues and it was very ugly at times and it just wasn't productive basketball. What's changed? I mean, there's a number of things maybe you could name or talk about. Obviously, Xavier Johnson is back for the Hoosiers and has been the last few games. But what's the difference, and what switch has been flipped, or what has happened with this team to allow them to go on to win four games in a row and have a little momentum heading into Minneapolis in the Big Ten tournament?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things. First of all, I do think it's fair, you know, of Mike Woodson to sort of say, you know, I think we've discussed this. This is what I expected when I said we need Xavier Johnson back. You know, I'm speaking as Mike Woodson here. You know, I saw this as what this team could be essentially, and not necessarily that Johnson has been outstanding every game, but that, you know, you've had the combination of Xavier Johnson and Trey Galloway. So against Wisconsin, Trey Galloway plays really well. Against Maryland, frankly, they probably both play very well. Against Minnesota, again, you're talking about kind of, I mean, Johnson only scores 2 points, but between them, they have 16 assists and 9 turnovers. They play really well. Yesterday afternoon, Galloway goes out. I thought Indiana really struggled at times to kind of find its way without Trey Galloway, but I thought Xavier Johnson eventually kind of found that. Again, he only scores 3 points and he has 4 turnovers, but he's also got 4 assists and 4 rebounds. You know, he's the one that feeds Khalil Ware off a sort of late clock screen and roll for the foul that leads to Ware making the game-winning free throw. Johnson's the one that comes away with effectively the game-winning rebound as well. I think that's part of it. I think McKenzie and Bakla's played a lot better lately at times. He's probably become a little bit three-point happy, but, you know, it's hard to argue with basically, you know, one scoring effort in single digits over his last eight games and, you know, some of the numbers he's given Indiana at Maryland, at Minnesota, et cetera. And then Khalil Ware. I mean, Khalil Ware has really found a confidence. You know, if you look at his numbers, and I'm just adding them up while we talk, but over these last four games, I think I've got him with 90 points. Again, forgive me, I'm doing this like while we're on the phone together, but 48 rebounds, you know, 10 blocks. You know, if you look at his numbers, he's scoring efficiently. He's getting to the free throw line. He's playing at a level that, you know, I mean, even if you think about like a Minnesota, for example, you know, he had 17 points on 11 shots against Minnesota back in January. I thought Pharrell Payne gave him a little bit of trouble. You know, not that I thought he played better than Payne in that game, but I thought Payne at least kind of gave Ware something to think about. Well, that game at Minnesota, he's got 26 and 11 plus three assists and three blocks, and I don't remember anything Pharrell Payne did. And, you know, we could talk about Wisconsin and the ability Wisconsin has to throw, obviously, bigger bodies at you, whether it's a Stephen Crowell or a Tyler Wall or Nolan Winter played 8 minutes in that game. But he goes for 27 and 11 in that game. And then I'm not trying to pick on Xavier Booker, but, you know, to kind of, you know, talk about high school recruiting versus the portal, you know, Booker was a player that a lot of Indiana fans were concerned to see go out of Cathedral to Michigan State. And Indiana really never seemed, by, you know, kind of its recruiting energy around them, to be fully convinced about Booker. Well, Indiana goes out and gets Khalil Ware instead. And, you know, Booker plays 7 minutes, doesn't score, misses 1-3 and has a foul. That's the entirety of his contribution yesterday. Khalil Ware has 28 points, 12 rebounds, you know, scores from all angles, all over the floor. And so I think that Ware has been a really big piece of this. And I think, you know, it's, I'm not saying that, excuse me, I'm sorry. I'm not saying Indiana's a good team that's just kind of been misunderstood all season. But I think that they have turned a few corners effectively at the right time of year here to be able to sort of justify, you know, I don't think there have been a lot of, I guess you'd say, luck results here in the last four games. I think Indiana has earned, you know, Xavier Johnson said something to the effect of essentially, you know, we, you know, maybe the old Indiana would have taken a punch and gone down, but we take punches and now we stay up, we keep fighting. And it feels
Zach
like
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, with us on IU Stuff. Zach, we've got to get to a commercial break, but it's always great to start the week with you from an IU perspective. Going to be a fun week with the Big Ten tournament ahead, and we'll see what this team can do. Thank you so much, Zach.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, as always.
All right, we'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with our final segment of our Monday show here in just a moment. Texter says, any idea on guys who will transfer out? Obviously, you can make speculation for certain guys. We know that Galloway is back. We know Anthony Leal is back. I think you assume Ware, with this great season he's had, which I actually think Mike Woodson will use that as recruiting help maybe, and he probably should, developing another guy to get ready for the NBA. I think Ware will be gone. I think really if you want to focus in on key parts, and this is so obvious, but McKenzie and Bakko and Malik Renu are the two, to me, that you really probably need to see back next season to help aid your transfer portal search this offseason, so you're not doing some kind of total rebuild or close to a total rebuild. But I would say those are the two keys, and we'll probably know very quickly on that once Indiana's season officially comes to an end. Now, the NIT, I did see the bracketology here in front of me. Somebody texted it in. It looks like, as of today, the latest NIT bracketology out,
This group has them in the tournament. So we'll see how that plays out and if that holds true. But that kind of could delay things on knowing the future as well. Who knows? So we'll head to a break. We're back with Chad Gilbert. We'll talk local sports, semi-states, girls basketball, women's basketball yesterday, and more. Stay with us here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back on this Monday edition of the show. Thornton's text line 502-414-1450. And Chad Gilbert, the athletic director at Charlestown High School, IHSA executive board member and former coach here in the area, with us as always on Mondays as we talk primarily about basketball and local sports, but lots to get to today. Chad, you and I have said this on and off over our time together on the radio, but this is one of my favorite weeks of the year. We've got the semi-state round of play coming up on Saturday, but I really enjoy the conference tournaments. I think it's that way because we know all the good basketball still to come. We know the NCAA tournament, the big dance, it's all still ahead. And in conferences, you get some great rivalries. You get some really heated matchups. Often it's teams that have already played once or twice this season. So the conference meeting could be maybe a third meeting of the season. But a fun week ahead. Indiana's playing well. We've got storylines to watch with all the local teams. Can Purdue finish out a strong season headed into the NCAA and win the conference tournament? Kentucky, I feel like, is a real sleeper that's coming together at the right time to maybe make a run in the NCAA tournament. Can they do well at the SEC tournament? What happens after Louisville loses their last game? Is that going to be it for Kenny Payne when they get defeated at some point this week, likely in the ACC tournament? So a lot of fun with our local teams. It's not been the best year for local teams, but a lot of things to watch this week as conference tournaments get underway.
My goodness, Matt, you covered a lot of storylines. There's a lot of excitement going on, and you're right. It's the best time of the year. You think about these conference tournaments and what's at stake. Every team that's playing for their life are playing for a higher seed going into the tournament. Anyone who says the conference tournament doesn't mean anything is lying to you. It does mean something. Every time you step on the court, it means something. You're playing for the process. You're trying to get better today than what you were yesterday. And I think if you have that idea going into tournament, pressure never comes into play because you're playing against yourself and the standards you set. And with these big-time programs that have that type of philosophy, that have that type of culture, I think that's something that's ingrained in their players, and that's something they do every time they step on the court.
Talking with Chad Gilbert. Chad, great stuff. Fun week ahead. Again, Indiana playing well, that kind of adds some excitement, especially with our program. But the high school stuff is very exciting as well. And Jeff and Christian Academy are two locals left going into this weekend, and now the Red Devils are the only local left heading into the semi-state round of things. You know, I'm a traditionalist, and so change, I try to be cooperative. It does take a little time to get used to. I think I like the fact that regionals and semi-states have been flipped. Regional now just a one-game deal. Semi-state, it keeps the school, the community involved longer, takes more teams deeper into the tournament. That's, I think, a good thing for everybody, those on the team, those in the school building, and those in the community. But the semi-state pairing show, a little different. You don't know after you win the regional who you're going to play. You don't know what time, and you don't know where it's going to be at. So a lot of unknown from Saturday evening until Sunday afternoon when that pairings for the semi-states are released, are drawn by the IHSAA. So interesting setup yesterday. I really watched that with interest. The Red Devils, I think, obviously tough competition ahead, but they're going to go about as far as you could go to Newcastle, which is a great arena. Can't wait to be there Saturday. I don't think I've ever broadcast from that gym since I was a junior at New Albany High School and the Bulldogs played in the Hall of Fame Classic tournament there. So I'm looking forward to that. But it's a long way to go for a semi-state, especially one that's considered 4A South.
Matt, that's what makes it fun, is that Thursday show of not knowing who to play.
As far as the Red Devils go, you know, just to touch on them a little bit, they've had a great year. You know, I've been picking them to go. I feel like they have state championship talent. This week, I watched the guys that were on there that they're going against. There's four formidable opponents in that semi-state, Matt, and that's going to be a battle. As far as their distance of travel, someone was going to have to travel, whether it was 1A, 2A, 3A, or 4A. If you put it on there, the Devils just got caught on one there. But, you know, when I was at Jeff and we won the state championship with the girls, we played in Fort Wayne. I would have played in anywhere in the world for a state championship. So that won't come into play with the players' minds. They're playing to compete and to move on. So it is exciting. It is fun. And my goodness, Matt, as a traditionalist, my gosh, you gotta come on with me, Matt. 22 games. Let's talk about that. You like those extra two games that are added? The regional weekend. I'm sure there's guys like me that are saying, man, if we had a one-game regional, I'd have won six more regionals. You know, if I'd have had 22 games, I'd have won 30 more games. You know, people are always going to go through that one. It doesn't matter what you got, what you had. It's what you're dealing with now, and that's what you got to go up against. So that's what makes it fun. I'm going to draw back. I hope the kids, I hope the fans, I hope the coaches appreciate this experience and enjoy it, because it's a once in a lifetime. There's not a better state tournament in America than what the IHSA puts on for basketball.
Absolutely. It's a lot of fun. And these great gyms being used this month. Jeff has been on a real tour of some of the best facilities in the state. Chad, as we exit today, maybe 30 seconds, 45 seconds on IU and their improvement and some of the wild coaching and transfer portal moments that are ahead.
Matt, you know, you back a guy against the corner, he's got to come out swinging, and that's what Coach Woodson and the Hoosiers have done. I think they're going to continue to play with the chip on their shoulder and hopefully make a decent run in the tournament. And then the portal and the coaching changes, it's just getting started. It's going to be a fun March.
Yeah, absolutely. Chad, thank you so much. That's going to wrap things up for our Monday show. Back Tuesday, this is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.